Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to say to my Flint brethren, those that used to be over with me in Flint, I did not volunteer to do this today. I did not volunteer for this speaking assignment. Just so you know, because you folks have seen what I've gone through regarding my Parkinson's disease health problems, and it's affected my ministry and my music. But, oh well, here we are, and I'll try to do my best today. A couple of months ago, I went to the lab for a blood test. You know how it is. The doctor gives you two or three sheets of paper to take to the lab. Page number one had stamped across it in big red letters, fasting. So I hurried to the lab. Oh, no, took me a while to get there. Why was that word fasting on there? Well, I went to Dr. Google so I could find out why I had to fast for this blood test. Other people said they didn't have to fast for the blood test, but that was my instructions. I had to fast. Dr. Google told me that the reason for that is they don't want my stomach to feed my bloodstream any kind of sugars that would interrupt some of the segments of the test. Another reason, they didn't want my stomach to push any kind of fats to my bloodstream. That would mess up certain tests like cholesterol, I guess, and other tests. He told me that much, and then we kept going on, and I didn't want to hear any more. I decided just to do what the doctor said and what the lab ordered and fast. So if I didn't fast, and if I didn't shut my stomach down, I couldn't test. I couldn't test for what they wanted. I couldn't make the test if I didn't shut my stomach down. Well, time goes by, and there comes this day called Atonement. Oh, no. Across the page, it says, "You shall afflict your souls." And this time, it's from sunset to sunset, even to even. That's 24 hours. Now, the blood test was only 10 or 11 hours of going without food and shutting my tummy down. But it comes the Day of Atonement, and I got to shut my stomach down again. This time, it's for 24 hours. Why is that? Well, I went to Leviticus 16 to find out why that is. It's because of uncleanness, because of transgressions. Verse 16 of Leviticus 16 tells me that. And also in verse 24, it tells me that flesh was washed with water, the fat of the sin offering was burned. In verse 30, it says, "Atonement for you to cleanse you, to clean you from all your sins." That's what it says in verse 30 of Leviticus 16. It goes on and explains more in Leviticus 17 about this life is in the blood thing, given to make an atonement for your souls. We understand our Savior was afflicted. His soul is afflicted, right? And we'll look into that a little bit later on. But first I want to take us over to Ezra 8. Let's go to Ezra 8. I forgot to turn on my stopwatch. Darn, I got to start over. Oh, no, never mind. Ezra 8, if you'd go there with me, that's a few books before Psalms and so forth. It's not about atonement in Ezra 8. It was about Ezra seeking understanding for the people. But what tool did Ezra employ? Ezra 8, verse 21, he says this, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God." That we might afflict ourselves before our God. Reason for that. Interesting to see here, isn't it? To seek of him a right way. A right way for us. For our little ones. For all our substance. For everybody. to seek a right way. How? Fasting, proclaim, afflicting ourselves before our God. Let's look at some samples of afflicting our souls. That was kind of my study leading up to this prep for the sermon. I want to look at this thing about affliction that seems to be so important for us in this day, of course, for sure, but even beyond that. Psalm 119, let's go there. Psalm 119. Verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Reason? Once again, that I might learn. That's the reason. Afflicted that I might learn. That I might learn thy statutes. Verse 75 of Psalm 119. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that you in faithfulness have afflicted me. God is faithful to afflict me, and we all have afflictions from time to time. Just listen to our prayer requests. Listen to our prayer requests that come on almost every week. Afflictions and problems and troubles. From Jeremiah's Lamentations, I want to go there, a little book after Jeremiah, Lamentations 1. In verse 16, for these things I weep, mine eye runs down with water. Behold, O Lord, I am in distress. My bowels, verse 20 rather, behold, O Lord, I am in distress. My bowels are troubled. My heart is turned within me. Why was that? Can somebody read verse 4 for me? Lamentations 1, verse 4, and we'll see why he is weeping. Lamentations 1, verse 4.
The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to the festivals. All her gates are desolate. Her priests groan, her young girls grieve, and her lot is bitter.
Thank you, thank you. Judah had given up on the feast. And once again, Jeremiah says, for these things I weep. Mine eye runs down with water. Verse 20, behold, O Lord, for I ran in distress. My bowels are troubled. It affected him right down to his inner being, his stomach, just like it is with us today. My heart is turned within me. Go to chapter 3 of Lamentations for a second. Let's pick up three verses there. Lamentations 3. For he does not afflict willingly, he's talking about the Father in heaven. He does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. So verse 40, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Verse 41, let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Psalm 25, if you want to go there, really nails it. Verse 18 of Psalms 25. Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Look upon my affliction, my pain, Psalm 25, verse 18, and forgive all my sins. Verse 21, let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Oh, that's the route we got to go. Integrity and uprightness. We're just not naturally that way, are we? Hence, days like this, days like in the spring that we go through, about that integrity and that uprightness that preserve. He says, for I wait on thee. We know that our Savior was afflicted. You're used to hearing this all the time. Isaiah 53, but I want to go through it real quickly for a second. Our Savior was afflicted, so he expects the same from us, I guess. Apparently that's the way it's working out, what his word says. Anyway, how was our Savior afflicted? Isaiah 53, verse 3. a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Verse 4, and he bore our griefs, he carried our sorrows. Verse 5, for us he was wounded, bruised, chastised, stricken. Verse 7, oppressed and afflicted. Reason, verse 8, for our transgressions he was stricken. Afflicted and stricken because of transgressions. Like the song says, he bled and died to take away my sins. So pertaining to us, can I ask you, is it really worth it all? I'm talking about the sufferings and the afflictions that we go through. Well, Revelation 21, verse 4 says God's going to wipe away all those tears. Revelation 21, verse 4, there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. All those former things that are in our prayer requests week by week are going to be passed away. All that heartache for one reason or another. We're all different folks. We're all different people. We all have all different problems. We know that. All those troubles, all that pain can be passed away. And not only that, but you receive a crown. What does that mean? Excuse me. What does it mean you're going to receive a crown? It's like a badge. It's like a prize. It's like a symbol. Paul said, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And there's that crown of righteousness. Crown of righteousness. James 1, verse 12. You are blessed if you endure temptations. When you are tried, you shall receive the crown of life. But for now, I think we should go to James 4th chapter, James 4. Let's go there and read several verses together. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Verse 8, the center part of the verse, look what it says. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves, verse 10, in the sight of the Lord, and he's going to lift you up. Jesus made it plain that there are certain segments of evil that can only be dealt with by fasting and prayer. Remember those guys that tried to cast out a demon out of a... They tried to cure a lunatic, I guess he was. I didn't look it over real close to check my facts. But they tried to take that demon out of him, and they got beat up. I think they were sent away naked. They wondered what happened, and they were told, this time only comes out by fasting and prayer. And we know what we're dealing with in the time frame of God's holy days, coming on atonement and coming on the Feast of Tabernacles, but especially atonement. We know that he's going to be bound up for a long, long time. Then there'll be a short time he's going to be loose, and then he's going to be, poof, he's going to be gone forever. Because certain segments of evil have to be dealt this way, by fasting and prayer. For me, there are certain feast days with certain elements that always grab my attention. The first one being that piece of bread I take. Another one of the things that I do is I take a sip of wine and I wash those feet, which is as real to me as being his feet, no matter who it is. I'm washing his feet. And then this empty, fasting stomach day. Those four things that happen every year for me grab my attention. In conclusion, imagine, if you will, if I had a tool called a spiritual stethoscope, and I could come out and sit down real close next to you and listen to what your stomach's saying to your heart. Hey, what's going on up there? Oh, just overcoming sinful nature.